opinions expressed on this podcast do not necessarily reflect those of the management of Louisville.am and Veritas New Media, a Louisville.am production.
Robbing and shooting and raping and killing, bloody murder, molesting, running airplanes into buildings. Every time I turn around, something else is going wrong. Yeah, tell me, what the hell is going on?
Welcome to the Rusty Satellite Show with your host, Rick Redding. The show airs every week exclusively here on the Louisville.am podcast network. Rick's ready to start ranting and raving about his hometown right now. So here's Rick.
And thank you for downloading the Rusty Satellite Show, the home of the most interesting people in the Ville. Every week, this podcast takes a look at what's going on in Louisville, KY, my hometown, and talks to some of its most interesting folks. So I have some great folks on to this week for the show, and I'm anxious to introduce you to them. But first, I want to tell you a little bit about one of the sponsors that makes this show possible. It's Louie Louie's Authentic Detroit Style Pizza, right up in J-Town on Taylorsville Road. It's one of my favorite places to go. I love the food. I just saw on their Facebook page they have some new beers on tap over there. The Kentucky Belgian Wit Beer and Magic Hat Number 9 are now on draft at Louie Louie's. It's a good time to go anytime. Thursday night is their special music night. You can hear Rusty Satellite Show alumnus Jeff Raymond leading the band over there, and it's just a good time. And speaking of good times, this is the time of year. There's a lot of focus on the craft beer movement in Louisville, and it's just, it seems like every time you turn around, there's some party focused on beer, or you know, sometimes it's bourbon or even wine, but it's all about, you know, there's a lot of drinking that goes on in this town, I guess. At least we talk about it a lot. And this weekend, I want to tell you first a little bit about my weekend last weekend, but this Saturday, postponed from last week because of the weather, this event called Casks for a Cause, C-A-S-K-S. Casks for a Cause, it involves some celebrities, some media celebrities and stuff, and yours truly is going to be down there to MC the award ceremony about 7:30. And that's going to be a lot of fun. Caroline Knopp, I was joking with her today. I think she's my programmer, my schedule. She helped me. She introduced me to Sam Miller, who you'll hear from later today on the show. And she got me involved in that. And it's going to be a magical night because I'm going to have a chance to do that and then follow that up with a trip to see the Louisville City FC soccer team down at Slugger Field. I experienced my very first professional soccer game last Saturday. It was a magical night. The atmosphere there it just surprised me. I had expectations going in, and they were. It's a lot different way to spend a night at Slugger Field than watching a baseball game, I'll tell you. Nothing wrong with watching baseball, but soccer, there's a lot of noise going on. You know, it's just sort of an electric atmosphere. And as you'll hear in my talk with Amanda Duffy coming up here in a minute, who is the general manager of the team, I think you'll find that if you make it a point to go down there, catch a soccer game for the first time, it's not like, you know, watching your, you know, a soccer. It gets a bad rap sometimes, and you know, most of you that are parents probably took a son or daughter to a series of soccer games when they were little, and this professional soccer is a whole different ball game. One other thing I wanted to mention about last weekend, after the soccer game last week, I went to the Cabo Wabo party for the first time. It was held at the top of the Mall St. Matthew's garage, which sounds like a pretty odd place to have a big party, but it's actually the perfect place. It's up high. There's plenty of parking down below. The bandstand was great. They played this band, I think they're called V Groove. They played this, I went a little crazy. Paula made fun of me because they played one of my favorite Delbert Clinton concert songs, Standing on Shaky Ground. We got up and really had a good time with that. So that was going on too. So what a great time to be in Louisville in the summer. It's a lot of fun. So let's get into my first guest. I'm going to talk about in the second half of the show. First, I'll tell you that Sam Miller is coming up in the second part of the show. He has written a book called Interstate Providence. I just really enjoyed talking to Sam about the book. I enjoyed reading the book, and it has this odd thing about it. He's worked in the names of 120 Kentucky Derby winners. End of the story. That has nothing to do with horse racing or anything like that. We'll talk a little bit about the content of the book in a moment. But first up, Amanda Duffy is the general manager of the Louisville City FC soccer team, and she is sharp and into her job. She knows what she's doing. She's been around soccer pretty much all of her life. And has been brought to Louisville and has sort of fallen in love with the city. And she's the one responsible for a lot of the great atmosphere over there. My friend Wayne Estopinall, who is, the majority owner of the team, the franchise here in Louisville, is responsible for making all this happen. I saw Wayne at the game the other night. And all is well. All the plans that that we made to bring professional soccer to Louisville have come to fruition, and we're in the midst of a homestand. So I would encourage you to go out and check out a game out at Slugger Field. It's a lot of fun, and Amanda Duffy is a very fun person to be around. She's really. Got a lot of responsibility on her shoulders, and we talked about a lot of things involving the team, including the possibility of a new stadium, which is certainly something that's on the table that they're talking about. So let's get right into it. Here's my conversation with Amanda Duffy.
As a first-time mom, I have to admit, I really didn't know what to expect, but the people at Passport did. Besides covering me and my baby for maternity care and checkups, they offered me extra rewards for things I really needed, like gift cards so I could buy a crib or car seat, and gift cards for groceries and gas. All I had to do to earn these rewards was join their Mommy Steps program for new moms and keep my doctor's appointments, things I was gonna do anyway. When they say, "We take the time to care," they really mean it. That's why I choose Passport.
Why will you choose Passport? Call 1-800-578-0603. That's 1-800-578-0603. And choose Passport. 1-800-578-0603. Passport Health Plan. We take the time to care.
And today I'm at the offices. Well, I guess it's an architectural office, but I'm with Amanda Duffy, who is general manager of our great Louisville City FC soccer franchise. Amanda, welcome to the show.
Thanks for having me.
All right. Well, I went to my first soccer game on Saturday.
Great.
It was great. Well, I'll qualify that, first professional soccer game. And what a crowd you guys had out there.
We were pretty pleased with it. It was another record attendance for us this past Saturday, and feel like we're in position to continue on that trend with attendance records the next two or three weeks on this. We're on a four-game homestand right now.
So okay.
With one behind us this past Saturday. So the next three Saturdays we'll be at home and feel like we can continue in that record-setting trend the next 3 weeks.
Wow. Well, let's hope so. Let's go ahead and get a plug out of the way. How do you get tickets if you want to come to Slugger Field for the game on Saturday?
You can visit our website, LouisvilleCityFC.com, or you can call us here in the office, 502-384-8799.
Okay, great. Well, I know Wayne Estopinall has been on the show before and talked with enthusiasm before the season about all the great people he's going to bring in, and you're one of those. Tell me just a little bit about your journey here to Louisville.
Sure. I grew up in North Carolina, played soccer growing up in college, a few years post-college in the W League, and a year overseas in Sweden before retiring and getting a real job, I guess, as they say. And during that time, I was finishing up my master's degree. I did an internship at United Soccer Leagues, their front office, which is headquartered in Tampa, Florida. Had a great experience and was able to, after I came back from Sweden, was able to find myself in a position to take a job back down there. So went back to Tampa. I was at USL for almost 8 years. Started out doing the operations for this league. At that time, it was two professional divisions. It was USL First Division, USL Second Division. In 2010, they came together to form USL Pro, and now it's just USL. But so was the director of operations during that time, and then shifted over and took over our highest level women's league at USL, and at the time in the United States, for women's soccer. So almost 8 years, and then was fortunate enough to know the right people here in Louisville to know about the opportunity to coming here. I came as originally vice president of operations. There was a leadership change in December, which at that point, I came in October. In December, a leadership change, and I moved into the general manager role at that time.
That was a quick promotion.
And it's been, I've been sprinting ever since.
Now, I don't know a lot about soccer, so forgive me, but it seems like the chief executive position on a professional soccer team, you seem quite young for that. Are you younger than most of your contemporaries? Or
I don't know the average age across the league. It's certainly a unique opportunity that I'm very excited about. It was, fortunately, I did have the experience coming from the league side and seeing the growth of USL, USL 1, USL 2, USL Pro, now USL, seeing an ownership change at the league office when I went from an Umbro-owned company to a Nike-owned company to New Rock Soccer Holdings company with Alec Papadakis at the helm there. And so I just saw the transition from where the league was to where it is now, and just had enough familiarity and knowledge of what the expectations were and the trends were as far as just the new ownership, as it's definitely changed over the last five, six years, the wherewithal behind the ownership, the ability for us to look from a league side, you can look out and see 3 to 5 years of stability and at a minimum, and that was really important as soccer over the last few years at the lower divisions underneath Major League Soccer, a lot of turbulence. So to be able for USL now to be able to look out and see these owners who are certainly capable of operating teams for a long period of time is very valuable for USL and for soccer in general in the United States. So we don't have as much turnover as the sport saw in the years prior to that.
Okay. Well, coming into Louisville, let's talk about that for a minute, because it's certainly not doesn't have a reputation as a soccer town or anything like that. And I'm sure you're working in the league office. You've seen the league come into markets where there's been no professional soccer before. Was it a slam dunk on Louisville? Did you just know that this would be a successful franchise?
No, you know what the excitement around at the time, going back to last June, July, is this franchise was actually purchased from Orlando City out of Orlando. Wayne Estopinal has minority ownership in Orlando City, and they were able to work that out where we were able to get everything we needed here in Louisville to be able to move the franchise here. And actually, interestingly, when I moved to Louisville, I heard pretty often that this could be a soccer city. There's a lot of support. Last year at the World Cup, some of the watch parties here in Louisville, fantastic turnout. So it seemed like there was definitely enough of an interest. Now, whether or not that was going to translate into the butts in seats, if you would, at the stadium, that was another story. And you know, going through this process, when I got here in October, we didn't have a single player signed. And going through over the course of the next 4 or 5 months as we were bringing the players into the picture, and the schedule wasn't announced until middle of March, and you definitely had some antsy fans who were like, okay, we don't have players, we don't have schedule, you know, what is this? And you can feel those questions, sort of that pressure of, okay, we need to get some news out there. But as it started, as we were unrolling it, you could feel momentum start to build, and And certainly one thing I have seen here is this is a very loyal community and the fan base here, and with U of L certainly, and I feel like we're starting to see that now too with fans coming out and really just being proud and excited about what we're putting out there.
Well, it was my first game and all that, but you're used to going to Slugger Field and sitting there in the baseball game and you know, it's kind of slow and it's quiet unless somebody hits a home run, mm-hmm. right? And then I come out to the soccer game, and these people are, like, making noise the entire time when, you know, nothing seems to be going on in the field. It's very exciting. Sometimes I know there's exciting moments in the game, but I guess that's typical of what soccer's all about, right? I mean, you don't ever have a soccer game in this league where you know, it's quiet, I guess.
Well, and that's our supporters group, our primary supporters group are the Coopers, and they were an integral part of bringing the team here, too, just early on before the franchise was moved and the acquisition made, that just showing the support. But, you know, they're an integral part of our game day experience, and that's just how the sport as a whole has grown in the United States, is the development of those fan groups, and the Coopers are doing a fantastic job. You know, for all of us, there's certainly room for improvement for us, for the Coopers, for everyone. But we feel like we have a really great foundation on all those levels, and they certainly work very hard to make that experience special and to grow in each game, so that we're all, you know, sort of growing into our identity and what we really want to be in this community. But that was one thing, and some of the places I went to speak before the season got started, and just, you know, there's just a lot of questions, and most of the people I'm sure here in Louisville have been to Slugger Field and have had the baseball experience, and you know, with or without our Coopers, we knew it was going to be a different experience, because the soccer experience is different than a baseball game. So it's just added value to have them there and to do what they do, and we've seen it move out of just their section of the Coopers and just around the stadium, what they're doing, that energy and that engagement. Yeah. So it's really neat. It's really neat.
Yeah, it's really cool. So let me switch gears a minute and just, you know, you moved here. Outside of the job, how do you like Louisville?
I like it a lot. I will say it was a little tough from December through, I guess, probably March, April.
Yeah, adjusting, the worst time to move.
Adjusting to the weather, going from Tampa, Florida, where it was we were in our summer B session, as I like to call it, to a real winter, which it was a little tough. But it's a great city. I'm really enjoying being here and learning more about it and learning more about the growth, especially downtown, since this is where we spend all of our time. Our office is downtown, stadium downtown, and knowing and seeing, learning about what some of the long-term plans are for this city and the growth of downtown. Is really neat. So it is summer and there's more festivals and fairs and just events going on.
It's a lot more fun.
It's nice to get out and be a part of that.
Okay. Now you, I got to ask you this question, because when I talked with Wayne, there's all sorts of plans beyond this year. Mm-hmm. There's talk of a stadium. Mm-hmm. Where's the current? What's the current status of a facility for the team?
We're certainly that's something that we talk about regularly, identifying the right sites, a couple different options that would make sense for us. We're hitting the numbers we need to hit to feel like that conversation is a real conversation with city officials, city and county officials, and so we're happy about that. We're just right now making sure we're doing everything on game day, on the field, in the stands, to make sure we can continue to have that conversation. But it's certainly something that we know we need to be in our own venue for us to really be prosperous long term. We're already having those conversations to identify.
And would that be like a 10,000 seat facility or more than that?
Certainly, I think at this level, USL 10,000 to 12,000 seats is the right number for us to be able to get to those sellout numbers and create that demand in a real way, with the ability to expand to a 20,000, 20,000, 25,000 seat stadium, as the conversation, obviously, the ownership from the outset has talked about moving moving to Major League Soccer. And some of the studies and reports that have come out recently have indicated that soccer is the one sport that has a chance here in Louisville to make it to the Major League level. So yes, we would want to start at in a little bit smaller venue with the ability to expand to that 20,000, 25,000
seat. Okay. All right. Well, unfortunately, on Saturday when I came, we lost. You know, and that was kind of your responsibilities go to quality of the team on the field in addition to all the executive stuff. So what are we going to do to win this week?
Well, fortunately, we had a couple extra days of rest. Last week, we were coming off. It was the fourth game in a 10-day period. So, and the third game in that stretch was a U.S. Open Cup match against Major League Soccer Chicago Fire, which went into overtime and unfortunately lost in a very late goal in the second overtime period. So feel really good. We got a couple days off. The guys are rested. They're back at home. They're back in their environment. And I know it was disappointing for everyone all around us, you know, front office, ownership, players, coaches. That was our first home loss. So
oh, okay, because your record is like about 500. What is your record?
Interesting question this morning.
You knew I was going to ask some tough questions.
I know.
You go. What's your record?
So now we're 5-3-5 on the season. So yes, first home loss, and we just certainly want to be back on our winning ways this weekend and feel like now that we are back at home and back on a more regular schedule that we like to keep with the one game a week and getting a full week of training and proper rest that we're going to be ready.
And when you go out to sign players, I mean, I don't know. I guess the players come from all over the world or
we do. We have there is a 7 foreign player limit with our roster, and we have right now we've got the Americans, obviously a Canadian player. We have a player from Denmark, England, Israel, and Ireland right now we have on the team. So we have a good eclectic representation
sort of
from some other countries, and it's good. I mean, there's in each of them you see a different type of skill and talent and experience, and it brings a lot to our roster to have that.
All right. Well, great. Well, I got to wrap it up here, Amanda. You've been a great guest on the Rusty Satellite Show. I look forward to getting out to a few more games out there.
Thanks for having me on here.
Today, before we get into the news of the day, I want to talk to you about another one of our sponsors, Snelling Medical Staffing. We have a job of the week segment that we do with Snelling, and here's this week's job. Snelling Medical Staffing has an immediate opening for an accounts receivable specialist. The minimum qualifications for this job are a thorough knowledge of medical billing practices and terminology, strong computer skills. You have to be able to operate a 10-key numerical pad by touch, work under tight time schedules, strong customer service and communication skills, excellent problem-solving skills, ability to handle multiple tasks, work independently, be detail-oriented, with strong oral and written communication skills. I'm sure you have all those or know someone who does. If you do, call Stephanie over at Snelling Medical Staffing at 502-814-9800. Tell them you heard it on the Rusty Satellite Show. All right, so that's that, and let's move on to what's up next on the Rusty Satellite Show. Each week I talk about some of the things that are going on in the city or that I have noticed in popular culture, etc. I tell you, last weekend I did have a busy weekend. I spent some time with my son on Father's Day. My son Luke is 17 years old, and he is going to be a senior at Eastern High School, and he is less likely than he used to be to go with me to places and things that I do. We used to do a lot of those kind of things together when he was a little younger, but I told him we were going to see the movie Entourage last Friday, and that's what we did. If you're familiar with Entourage from the HBO series, it is about four guys. It's loosely based, actually created by Mark Wahlberg, and it's about four guys who move from the East out to Hollywood and make their way as primarily, it's basically three guys supporting the actor who's played by Adrian Grenier, and his name is Vinny Chase in the series. And so they made a movie. I think the series ended on HBO a year or two ago. They made a movie, and you know, maybe you could call it a guilty pleasure. You could call it something else, but you know, you might call it the Sex and the City for guys. I really like it. I probably shouldn't, but the movie features a lot of, you know, just a lot of things that guys do and razz each other about and give each other grief, and it's about their love lives and their professional lives and how they help people or try to get ahead. And the characters are really funny and unique. This guy Johnny Drama is he's probably my favorite because he is he's always struggling and he's always doing stupid stuff. And I would recommend you, you know, most of you to go see it. It's not for everybody, but Entourage is certainly about life in Hollywood for young, hot people. I'll tell you, just a little. I was just a little bit queasy. There's a little bit of nudity in there, and some talk of things of a sexual nature that. I got to tell you, I've never been one to shelter my kids or shield them from things in popular culture. So it's not like Luke hadn't seen it before, and he seemed to really enjoy the movie. So there you go. That's your recommendation on the movie Entourage, which is playing in town. So get on to some stuff that's going on in town more seriously. I guess I took a special notice of this story, if you saw it, about a woman, a 19-year-old woman who was shot and killed, and they found her body in the forest down in Bullitt County. And, you know, when you see a story like this, you know the people involved are probably not going to be upstanding individuals. And they basically caught the two people that killed her. The basic problem, the issue was drugs. And, you know, I'll just read you part of the story in the Courier Journal. There's a man and a woman. The man was just recently released from prison, and the woman has a record herself. But the victim, of course, was involved in drugs in some way, too. So it goes like this. Mudd allegedly told police that she made the victim strip her clothing before reaching inside the victim to recover stolen drugs. Police said the two suspects then drove the woman over the county line, fatally shot her, and dumped her body in the woods near Pendleton Hall and Pendleton Roads, which is in Bullitt County. This sounds like a story right out of, like, Justified, the TV series. And it's sad. It's sad to know that people get involved in this drug world and they can't get out, and they are driven to desperate measures. And the bad thing is, this story isn't that unusual, and it happens all the time. You know, I've done some stories on my Inside of Louisville Health pieces about how bad it is with drug abuse in our world, and this is the kind of thing that happens as a result. So, very sad story, but a realistic one. It tells you a little bit about, we might be far removed from the world of drug use and stealing and doing all the kinds of things that you have to do to maintain a drug habit. Most of these people are headed for a bad ending, whether it's meth, whether it's heroin, whatever it is. So, just mention to you that story just hits you hard, because these people don't have to. The victim was 19, and she had a 2-year-old child, and apparently she was involved in drugs, and that's sort of what happened. So anyway, that story is a big story in the news. Of course, the story that's been dominating the news ever since this incident happened in Charleston, South Carolina, this white supremacist young man shot and killed 9 people at a church in South Carolina. Most of the talk in since then and has been about the Confederate flag, and all the politicians are sort of lining up. You know, every day a news story comes out, which politician is denouncing the Confederate flag. It's like, who can scream the loudest that they think the Confederate flag ought to come down in South Carolina? you know, the defenders of that of having it up are you know, it's a very unpopular position to have. Even Republicans are coming over and saying that they want the flag to come down, and that's become the symbol of this whole race thing that is going on in our country and throughout our country, and it's hitting home in Kentucky. There is a movement now to remove the Jefferson Davis statue in the Kentucky Capitol. Jefferson Davis was the president of the Confederacy and really represented the Confederacy and was born in Kentucky. You know, but there's all these little stories as a result of this. Like anything that has the Confederate flag associated with it, is being called in. Now, even the State Fair Board, get this, the State Fair Board, which runs the State Fair coming up in August, they're talking about, and when I say talking about, they've had enough talk that there is a news story about it, about
the world's
banning merchandise with the Confederate flag on it in at the State Fair, selling at the State Fair. You can't do that. So everybody's trying to distance themselves from the Confederate flag so they won't be accused of racism. Even the company Cafe Press, a local company, has been busy clearing their site of any Confederate flag-related materials. And some of it is in such poor taste. I mean, just before any of this happened, if you were like, the Confederate flag was already a symbol you wanted to avoid, but a lot of you know, I'm just going to say, rednecks really like that heritage and really want to embrace the heritage of the Confederacy, which of course lost in the Civil War, and those that hang on to it, they hang on to the ideas of racism, and that is what's going on in our country right now. There's going to be more. It's going to continue, and apparently there still hasn't been a decision made that the Confederate flag flies over the state capitol in South Carolina, which you know, cooler heads are going to have to prevail and get that thing taken down. The politicians there in South Carolina, some of them defend it, and it's a difficult thing to get that done. So that's the big story in South Carolina and in Kentucky. How that story in South Carolina affects us in Kentucky, it's become a political issue here. I know that Rand Paul, Matt Bevin, some of the top politicians in our world in Kentucky are. I think I read where Rand Paul has given back some money that he received from a group associated with the Confederate flag. So that's the kind of thing that politicians are doing that they should do, and it's a reality in what we're seeing in our world. So that's the big story, I think, in the news that is sort of dominating around here. Of course, is sort of related to that story. The FOP chief, a guy named David Mutchler, wrote this scathing letter. I talked to you last week about the young man, the African American young man. I think he was from Sudan. He was swinging a 6-foot pole at a police officer, and the police officer shot and killed him. And that's caused a lot of backlash here in our community. So much so that this letter, this ill-advised letter from the police union chief, caused a lot of controversy. There was a protest downtown this week. They stopped traffic. They went out in the street, and nobody. It looks like maybe the issue will be one of those that slowly goes away. But Mutchler has not really apologized. He's not been fired. The groups protesting wanted to see Mutchler fired. The mayor came out with a statement, said, you know, he can't fire him over that. And so the debate rages on in our community. And it's, you know, listen, a lot of these stories in the news are about race and they're about drugs, and those are the things that are sort of negatives in our society and stuff that we have to, you know, put up with and listen to. There's a lot more positive stuff, but you know, people ask me that all the time when I was in the media all the time. Why don't you report nice stories and good stories? And it's really challenging. I'll tell you the reason. The reason is because people don't want to read it. you know, a more positive thing. I think if you look at, like, say, some of the publications outside of the TV stations and outside of the daily newspaper, Insider Louisville, for example, is all about promoting Louisville business and promoting Louisville. My site, LouisvilleKY.com, the pulse of the city, you can go to that every day. Jackie Hollenkamp Bentley is doing a great job of posting stories there, and I've always posted stuff about Rusty Satellite Show guests, etc. So there's some positive news there. Business First does a positive thing. They've got the they're just now announcing their 40 under 40 positive stories about business people. So you know, you can find positive news if you look. So anyway, I want to get to my second guest now, Sam Miller. Very interesting guy. I met through Caroline Knopp, and she handed me this book, said, or Sam mailed me the book, and he said, you ought to read this, and I did. It didn't take me long. It's really a story that a lot of you can identify with, I guess, if you've ever been faced with some really devastating news and wondering how you'd react to it. The central character in the book lost his fiance and lost his job in the span of a less than a day, and basically reacted by going on a long pilgrimage, a voyage, a journey in his car across the country. And the book is about what he finds along the way. And I think we can all learn a lot from this book and learn a lot from the journey that the young protagonist in the book took. And it's written by a guy from right here in Louisville, Kentucky. And I was fascinated. I had him out here to meet him at he came out to my house, actually, out in J-Town. And we talked about the book and how he figured out how to get the names of 120 Derby winners into this book, and as you'll hear, we, you know, there's a couple he couldn't get in, but pretty much all the Derby winners. It was a fun book to read, and Sam's a fun guy to know. So here's my interview with Sam Miller.
No matter how young and healthy you are, life can be full of unpleasant surprises, and without health insurance, even a short hospital stay could set you back thousands of dollars. If you qualify for expanded Medicaid, you can get coverage through Passport Health Plan. Find out if you qualify. Call 855-459-6328 or go online at kynect.ky.gov. Choose Passport, the plan that takes the time to care.
All right, today I have with me Sam Miller, who is an author of a new novel that I just finished reading. It's fascinating. Sam, welcome to the show.
Thank you, Rusty, thank you, Rick.
Everybody does that.
I thank you for the opportunity to publicize my book.
All right. Well, let's talk about this book a little bit. I was fascinated by it because, you know, this certainly won't be giving away the story, but the whole thing is there's this your hero Hunter Damon is ready for a nice life with a nice wife and a nice job and all that, and within like 60 seconds he loses it all. Right.
Boom. That's right. Yeah. It was just the literary device to get the action going, but you know, a lot of times that happens in real life. They're like, you're like, here's my whole life laid out in front of me, and then something happens and it just comes crashing down. So I made it's like a metaphorical odyssey on a literal odyssey.
Right. I mean, it's very cool because, you know, I'm reading and I'm thinking, boy, I'd like to do this. He basically travels throughout a big part of the United States.
Yes. I don't want to give too much away how much time or how many states, but and it's not just the traveling, but the people. He meets a lot of colorful people and a lot of interesting situations happen to him.
Right. Right. And a brief pass through Louisville.
Oh, yes. Oh, yes.
I kept thinking, well, there's going to be a lot more happening here, but no.
That's right. Well, you know, if you get... he gets jilted at the altar, and you know, when I was writing it, I was thinking there's no way people are going to buy this, but apparently that happens a lot more than people really realize. And so rather than just go home like it's just another Saturday night, he takes a cathartic drive. Mm-hmm. And before he realizes he's tired, he wakes up in a whole other state. Gets a hotel room, wakes up the next day, and he says, you know what? There's nothing left for me back there. I might as well just keep going forward.
There you go. The being left at the altar thing, is that something you knew people that it had happened to?
Not me or anyone I know personally, maybe tertiarily heard about it happening, but...
Maybe some of us wish we had done that may be the thing.
Yeah, those of us that didn't dodge that bullet.
So I want to get back to the book and yes. some other things about it, but tell me a little bit about yourself, Sam, how you end up writing this book and your background here in Louisville.
Well, I'm an advertising copywriter, unemployed for quite a while, looking for a copywriter position. But I came up with the idea after I saw the Ron Howard movie, Apollo 13.
Okay.
And it occurred to me, you know, there's only about an X amount of plots in literature, maybe a dozen different plots. Everything is a variation of one of maybe a dozen or so plots. And it occurred to me that Apollo 13, even though it happened in real life, that was the quest to get home.
Uh-huh.
The Odyssey. You know, there's been a lot of examples that are trains, planes, and automobiles. That's the quest to get home.
Right.
And I thought, okay, well, in that movie, they wanted to land on a whole planet. They would have been happy just to land anywhere on a planet and make it home. So if a planet is one of the largest things in the universe, I thought, okay, what if the quest to get home, what's one of the smallest? What if home is not a bricks and mortar address with a living room and a fireplace, but rather where you live, this 6 foot by 2 foot by 2 foot space that, you know, this body where you live. So, you know, he's trying to get back to himself.
Okay.
So, yeah, it was seeing that kind of got the gears moving, no pun intended, because it's primarily a trip in a car.
Okay. Yeah, it really is. And I was going to ask you, you know, your connection, you have a literary connection in Louisville. You were telling me that there's a, you were in a high school fraternity, I guess, with one of our most famous residents.
Well, I was in the Athenaeum Literary Association, the ALA, started in 1862. It's been gone for maybe 30 years or so. But one of its most well-known alumni, I suppose you could call him, was Hunter S. Thompson. And, you know, the old ALA...
I thought you were going to say Bill Brimer, but I guess Hunter's a little more famous than Bill.
Well,
right?
Bill probably got in a little more trouble than Hunter. But, you know, the ALA guys were all pretty tight. And I was just saying, hey, you know what? I don't think Hunter S. Thompson should be the only guy in the Athenaeum Literary Association who actually got published. So
did you know him back then, or is he a different age?
Who, Hunter?
Yeah.
Oh, no. He was long gone by the time I came around.
Just lived on in his stories, I'm sure. So,
yeah.
So anyway, another lesson I think that's important from this book is never to, don't ever go to work for your wife's dad, right? nepotism it can backfire on you.
Yeah, I suppose so. Yeah.
So that the guys whose children are the daughter, his
father,
his wife's,
or the would-be father-in-law,
owned the company he worked for. So he lost his job when that happened. Too.
That would be awfully awkward. Your daughter didn't show. Oh, hey, what's up? Next
so there's also this fascinating experience while reading this book, and I'm sure that there are similar things to it elsewhere, but tell me about all the derby names in there.
Well, that started out as a security device. I'm writing this book, and I'm like, you know what, I'm going to be sending it to these New York publishers and agents and blah, blah, and all that. And how do I know? I don't have a name. Nobody knows me. How do I know that no one's not going to say, hey, this looks pretty neat. Uh-huh. I think I'll just steal it. So it started out as a security device. And I said, okay, I'm going to fit in bunch of Derby winners mm-hmm. in there, and I think I ended up with about 120, 125.
Wow.
Obviously, Fusiachi Pegasus did not make the cut.
That would seem like the hardest
that
one.
That would be a tough one, too. The one but, that I'm most proud of. Now, I split some of them up.
Mm-hmm.
So you know, into different words, but they're right there. The one I'm most proud of is Ali Sheba. If you can find Ali Sheba,
well, that sounds like one of those.
I'll give you a free copy.
I kept hearing. And I'm sort of a Derby aficionado, I guess. I memorized a whole bunch of them, and I kept seeing these names of places that were like.
Yeah.
Old Rosebud and
yeah, exactly.
And
yeah.
You know, and then you yeah. pick Billy T in there, which is,
sure.
is my favorite Derby winner, I think. So
he's a good one.
So now 120 of them, though. Other than Fusiachi, I mean, that only leaves out a handful, right? That you couldn't get in.
Yeah.
Or were they like, I tried to do it and I couldn't, or the name was so weird.
The one
that
I was
happen?
Most, I tried for like a whole day to try to figure out a way to get Bold Forbes in there. Maybe a word that ended with a B, and then old four, and then the next, the last word it starts with B E S. I tried, yeah. I mean, yeah. for every silver charm, which was easy, big brown, you know, big brown yeah. eyes, big, you know.
Well, a lot of the Derby winners are. I mean, if you challenge someone to write a book of this size without. Slipping in a Derby name, it'd probably be
yeah,
hard, you know, because
yeah. a lot of Derby winners, at least in the old days, had people names.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
yeah,
Ben,
you had characters.
Ben Brush, you had Manuel, you had Montrose. You've got you know, there were a lot of names,
right?
Even
right.
Paul Jones, who was the would-be father-in-law.
Yeah, a major character.
Paul Jones was the name of a Derby horse. And I said, you know what? You put Smarty in front of that. You got Smarty Jones, and boom, that's the name of the company. So, you know, yeah, I've just managed to fit it in.
Yeah, well, it's a lot of fun. It reminded me, actually, there was this book that was written by, I don't know if you know Carl Hyacin, but
oh, sure.
He wrote a book in which he was an obit writer, and the guy's quirk was he knew the age at which all kinds of people died. All famous people died.
Yeah,
so he
yeah.
slipped that in the book. Yeah. It was really fun to read, and you know, I
well,
like
it was a fun it was a fun and challenging thing to do, and a nice little wink to all my Louisville friends.
There you go.
So
I know we've just got a couple minutes left, but a message you want readers to get or a message that people who've read it come back to you and say, this is what I thought.
Well, you know, he's not alone on this odyssey. Is the spirit of his dead father pops mm-hmm. in from time to time to give him little wisdoms and truths from the other side. So, you know, I guess it's just you just got to keep plugging along on this odyssey, and
don't give up.
Yeah, without giving away the ending, you know. The rewards at the end. If you got to run your race,
do the right thing. I think is
yeah.
one of the things, and good things will come to you.
Yeah.
If you do that. So you finished your first book, and
yes.
you're working on a another one.
Yes, it's second one is gestating. Of course, I say that. You know, I've got I guess the first two chapters really kind of knocked me out. They're really good, in my humble opinion. Ha ha. But then you get to the character development, and you just kind of drag your feet at that. That's kind of rough. But, yeah, it's available on Amazon.com and BarnesandNoble.com. I guess we should mention that it's called Interstate Providence.
That's right. And as I'm going to mention on the show, if someone wants to write in to rick@louisvilleky.com, we'll give you a copy of the book, courtesy of Sam. And
yeah.
and it's quite an accomplishment to get a novel written. Is this something you always wanted to do, or when did you come upon
that bug? You know, it's funny. I think it's something that everybody wants to do. I just found myself at the time with some extra time.
Mm-hmm.
And once you get that concept... And then it just starts gnawing at you. It's kind of a funny thing. I was thinking about writing it, and then I saw the movie Finding Forrester with Sean Connery.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a great line in there. Sean Connery finds this young kid he wants to mentor. And the kid says, "You mean women will sleep with you if you write a book?" And Sean Connery comes back with, "Women will sleep with you if you write a bad book." So I have yet to prove that one way or the other. But
well, it's quite a motivation for a lot of guys to do all sorts of things.
That's right. Like so that. I thought, oh, okay, I'll write the book.
There you go.
Maybe that'll help.
Well, I hope that works for you. Yeah. The book is Interstate Providence.
Yes,
the author is Sam Miller. It's available in a lot of places. And if you check out the sites that I operate, we'll have plenty of information about the book. Sam, thanks for being on the show.
Thank you, Rick. And I want to give a special shout out to Carolyn Knopp, who introduced us.
All right, very good. Carolyn does a lot of great things for the Rusty Satellite Show, so we appreciate her. And I'll be back with more show in just a moment.
All right, and a big thank you to Sam Miller for coming by and talking to me over at my place. I want to tell you that this week we did have one big change at the Rusty Satellite Show. You'll notice if you go online and look, the pictures of our guests, Amanda Duffy and Sam Miller, are professional photographs taken by my friend Bill Breimer, who came out and joined me for these interviews this week, and it was really good. So anyway, there's a big weekend ahead. I hope you get out and enjoy some of the things in the city. Of course, the soccer game is Saturday night. Cask for a Cause is the big event. You can check me out. I'm going to be doing some MC work at that event. It's on Main Street downtown, right down the street from the... Right down the street. That was my phone. Sorry about that. Right down the street from the from Slugger Field, and it's going to be a blast. So this is the Rusty Satellite Show, the home of the most interesting people in the Ville. Hope you've enjoyed it. Thanks to my sponsors, Passport Health Plans, Snelling Medical Staffing, and my friends at Louie Louie's Authentic Detroit Style Pizza. I hope you'll come back next week. We do this show every week. It's gone on for 2 years now, and we're going strong. So look forward to talking to you again, and feel free to get in touch with me if you have any suggestions for the show. Until then, this is Rick Redding signing off for the Rusty Satellite Show.
Thanks for listening to the Rusty Satellite Podcast with your host, Rick Redding. Next week, Rick will be right back here on Louisville.am with another stellar lineup of great guests. You can let Rick know what you think by sending an email to rick@louisvilleky.com. He's on Twitter, too, @RickyRedding. For more information about the show, including photos of Rusty Satellite Show guests, go to LouisvilleKY.com, the pulse of the city.
Airplanes into buildings every time.